All right, welcome back. Mitchell Henderson is here for some absolutely first-class, world-class overview and analysis of the U.S.-NATO war against Russia in Ukraine, which is a Bolshevik Zionist enclave now. And they have taken over the country, taken over the government, expelled Christianity to a very substantial degree. You know the story. And you might want to ask yourself, well, why is Zelensky still alive? If this were war, wouldn't he have been taken out? Well, yes, of course. He's not going to be taken out. They made a deal. The deal was don't kill him because he's one of the chosen. And the oligarchs in Ukraine and the oligarchs in Russia, they're all of the same ilk, the same people, the same tribe. So they protect their own. To hell with the goyim. The Christian goyim are being absolutely sacrificed in a holocaust that we haven't seen in a long time, except for the holocaust going on worldwide thanks to the bioweapon injections. We haven't seen anything yet. You just hold on to your hats. The graphic nature of what's happening in Ukraine, though, is available in videos, and we're certainly seeing a lot of those, and it's grim. But there's a lot more to this, and Mitchell, welcome back. Thanks for being here.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
So you know what I've been talking before is like if you just look in the back, I started realizing that this is all scripted and everybody's working together. The thing is for transformation, you need a crisis. The bigger the crisis, the more you can transform things. So China and the United States worked together on the COVID pandemic. That was an intentional biological attack on the world performed by China and the United States. We can't just blame China. The United States was very involved in this, okay?
Totally.
So now we have a war in Ukraine that is a Russia-United States crisis going on, okay? And crises exist for reasons. So I have to ask myself, what's coming next, okay? Mm-hmm. So let me start by reading you this description of our times, okay? This is a quote from somebody. Okay, and here we go. It is not that the mass man has thrown over an antiquated one in exchange for a new one, but that the center of this scheme of life, there is precisely an aspiration to live without conforming to any moral code. Do not believe a word you hear from the young when they talk about a new morality. They are merely committing a new immorality and looking for a way of introducing contraband goods. Immoralism has become commonplace, and anybody and everybody boasts of practicing it. There will not be found amongst all of the representatives of the actual period a single group whose attitude to life is not limited to believing that it has all of the rights and none of the obligations. Its state of mind will consist decisively in ignoring all obligations and in feeling itself, without the slightest notion why, possessed of unlimited rights. So this describes the woke mindset clearly. This describes what they call our values, and it is what they mean when they criticize morality by saying, this is not who we are. They are, in fact, empty platitudes, amorphous in their character and flexible in their meaning. People virtue signal over made-up values with no basis in reality or morality. So, who wrote this and when? This was published in 1930 by José Ortega y Gasset in his book, The Revolt of the Masses, a Spanish philosopher who was describing Western society as it existed going into the Spanish Civil War in 1936. The Spanish Civil War was a battle between Marxism and reality. Okay. Now, keep in mind that everything happening in Europe, basically since 1848, was a struggle between Marxism and some attempt at some form of freedom. And just like we have the war in Ukraine now, the Spanish Civil War was a prelude to World War II. Okay. So just because they've got this war scripted at the moment, as the crises spiral out of control, we will face nuclear war. Okay, but you know what? We may have as much as a year or maybe more before mm-hmm. they do this. But they will do it. Okay, so in his book, Consciousness and Society, The Reconstruction of European Social Thought, 1890-1930, H. Stuart Hughes wrote, "For Marx, the important thing to know is the character of the regime of production that inexorably conditioned human life. For the great social thinkers of the next generations, the crucial concern was the irrational, virtually unchanging nature of human sentiments. What Freud usually referred to as drives and what Pareto rather awkwardly termed residues, however radically these thinkers were different from Marx, they are at least agreed with him that what was deepest in human conduct, for the most part, fell into a pattern of mere repetition. Or to put the matter in moral terms, they agreed that the basic characteristics of human experience was the limited nature of human freedom. Men were masters of their fate, they argued, only for limited periods and strictly limited segments of their activity. The 18th or early 19th century image of a man as self-consciously rational, being freely selected among properly weighed alternatives, they dismissed as an antiquated illusion. Some such conviction of the inevitable limitations on human freedom, whether by physical circumstance or through emotional conditioning, has become the unstated major premise of contemporary social science. Sociologists and anthropologists, economists and psychologists are at one in confining within narrow limits the realm of conscious choice. And historians, who are customarily more squeamish about these matters, have been profoundly shaken by a line of argument that seemed to cut their very subject matter out from under them. The subject matter had always been res geste, the deeds of men. What was there to write of if these deeds were to be dismissed as simply the product of material and psychological conditioning?" Okay, so he's describing here where the disregard for human freedom and human choice comes from. Okay,
right.
So this was written in 1958, but describes where we are now, and we can see how we got here. Marx, Freud, and Pareto were basically describing men as machines, slaves who did what their material and psychological conditioning told them to be. Man is not really free, so let's stop pretending they are. Freedom is slavery. Democracy is freedom. And true love is hatred. We live in a cross between Orwell's 1984 and Huxley's Brave New World. How can we tell? Britain has officially labeled both books as white supremacist and hateful. The Zio-globalist elites have zero respect for humans. We are cogs in the Marxist machine. Of course, both Marx and Freud were Zionist Jews, and both are the basis of cultural Marxism, which comes from the Frankfurt School of Marxist Freudianism. Pareto was an Italian economist who observed that the few would always rule the many, both socially and economically. So communist systems still have a ruling elite, just like capitalist systems does. Okay. In other words, Americans will not fight for their freedom because they've never been free. The Zio globalists have no problem if you choose vanilla or chocolate, but your choices in most areas of your life need to be limited in order to, quote, save the planet. In the early 20th century, John Dewey, the father of the American educational system, wrote, and I quote, "You can't make socialists out of individualists. Children who know how to think for themselves spoil the harmony of the collective society which is coming, where every one of us is interdependent." He said this before World War II. He's the father of the American educational system. Okay. So what conception of humans was Dewey working with? A Marxist conception. He saw humans as malleable. Man could create the kind of man he thought was the most efficient. He looked at people much like Oscar Wilde did, who died in 19-heaven. Wilde said, "Most people are other people. Their thoughts are someone else's opinions, their lives a mimicry, their passions a quotation." Okay, so I'm saying this so that you realize how these people look at humans. They don't look at us like we're human beings, okay? We might as well be dogs or cattle, as far as they're concerned. By 1950, psychology had figured out how to control the masses. The psychologist B.F. Skinner said, and I quote, "Now that we know positive reinforcement works and why negative reinforcement doesn't, we can be more deliberate and hence more successful in our cultural design. We could achieve a sort of control under which the controlled feel free. There is no restraint and no revolt. This would be the Brave New World system of dictatorship." But keep in mind, 1984 and Brave New World go together because they use some of both tactics, okay? Even in 1984, you're free to go drink beer at the pub and watch soccer games, okay? You're just not free to think for yourself. Okay, so this is our culture now. We do not protect victims anymore. We protect the criminals because they are the true victims, victims of racism. If a black man kills a white person, it is reparations. If a white man kills a black man, even in self-defense, it is murder provoked by racism. In the early 1960s, psychologist Thomas Schoch observed this trend when he said, "Punishment is now unfashionable because it creates moral distinctions among men, which to the democratic mind are odious. We prefer a meaningless collective guilt to a meaningful individual responsibility." So you see, a lot of this thinking is they're going to free you from your obligations and just give you all these rights. You'll have all these rights, but of course you won't be free, you know. You'll have the right to do exactly as they tell you to do. You have the right to think exactly as they want you to think, okay? But you see, they'll call it a right when actually it's imposed on you. So no crime control, no border patrol, and absolutely no merit in hiring and promotions. In other words, DEI and CRT. Which leads to a comment by an 18th century author, Johann Goethe. He said, "None are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe that they are free." So how does this lead to an understanding of what is coming next? The goal of DEI is equity. The U.S. military must become 50% female, but women do not want to enlist. A survey of female infantry shows that they hate it. We keep hearing that we cannot recruit enough military. It is admitted that we've run out of ammunition. 37% of our nuclear submarines do not work. We are behind Russia, China, and Iran in making hypersonic missiles. The mainstream media is now openly talking about Russia winning in Ukraine. Our failure in Afghanistan and our failure to prevail in Ukraine and China are indicators of a military crisis. This crisis will get much worse. This crisis is intentional. They're doing it on purpose, okay? The goal is for it to get far worse, a military crisis that needs immediate attention. The end game is to get a draft, not just a regular draft, but a draft that includes women. The goal is to quickly force our military to be 50% women and to cut straight white males out. Let's look at the military leadership right now. The commander-in-chief is a white male incestuous pedophile who is thoroughly corrupt and does not have his wits about him. Biden is the poster boy for DEI because it says you do not have to have any merit or ability to be the leader of the free world in our military. This is important for DEI because DEI is against ableism, which means it's against merit. Secretary of Defense is a black Lloyd Austin who made DEI the most important objective of the U.S. military in his first days in the job. Secretary of the Army, Christine Wormuth, who is a woman, is her main qualification. She has never served in any service of the military. Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro, a Cuban-American, 22-year Navy veteran, whose main qualification is that he is a person of color. The Secretary of the Air Force, Frank Kendall III, is a white man with Army service. He is the token white man in the Department of Defense. chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Charles Brown, a black man who complained that there are too many white officers and promised to fire 5,400 white officers. Okay, American taxpayers, do you know how much money it costs to train those officers? It costs as much as $5 million to train some officers that are highly technical positions. $5 million, let's just fire them. Let's throw the money away. So the Army Chief of Staff is a token white guy, and there's no Chief of Staff right now for the Air Force. So the Chief of Naval Operations is a woman, Christine Fanchetti, the very first female Chief of Naval Operations. Her major attribute that she brings to the job is she's female.
That's so it. That's all there is. That's it. I read about her. I read it. There's nothing there. Yeah. Nothing. Yeah. And this guy, Austin, is one of the biggest flakes I've ever seen in government. And, geez, tokenism. Oh, sickening. Mm-hmm. Just absolutely sickening. Go ahead.
So transgendered people are encouraged to join the military because while they are transitioning from male to female, they are exempt from physical fitness practice and tests, and they do not have to deploy. Transitioning costs a minimum of $250,000 to include all that Bruce Jenner got to get to Caitlyn Jenner. Taxpayers are paying for this. This is a minimum of $250,000. Okay, the very bottom minimum, and these it takes over a year to transition. Sometimes 2 years, depending on the health of the individual. So they don't deploy for those 1 or 2 years while they're transitioning. Trannies will be drafted. The new draft will include drafting illegal aliens, since they are the opposite of patriotic. The people coming across the border hate America and hate Americans. I live near the border. I talk to illegals all the time. Even better, I'm an obvious white guy, but I speak Spanish fluently, and they speak freely around me, not knowing that I speak Spanish. So I know what they say when I am not talking to them.
Right.
Okay, the goal has to be met to create a politically reliable military in order to go after straight white Christian males. White genocide is seriously the goal. Seriously the goal. Okay. The next goal after that will be to crush all opposition to the new morality. What is the new morality? It is the inverse of morality. You can already see that what used to be good is now evil, and what was always evil is now good. Orwell was alluding to this moral inversion with his concept of doublethink, holding an obvious contradiction to be true. You see right now that the right to be openly LGBT trumps our right to religion. Spend any time on Twitter and you would see that the woke hate real Christians, and they do not believe that we have the freedom of religion, but rather freedom from religion. This means only Christian religion. As you know, Muslims have the protections of the gay, and Judaism has the protections of the government. Soon it will be a crime to express anything Christian. Why? Because Zionism is the political movement of the Antichrist. Okay? So let me just go over where Christianity's been headed. Okay? So Christianity in the United States has been in decline. In 1950, 90% of Americans were Christian. By 1979, 91% were Christian. We actually had a revival of sorts. In 2016, only 73% were Christian. And now, only 6 years later, we're down to 74% Christian. According to the Pew Research Center, since the 1990s, large numbers of Americans have left Christianity to join the growing ranks of U.S. adults who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or no religion. In 2022, 37% of Christian pastors had a biblical worldview. 62% of Christian pastors believe in syncretism, a hybrid mixture of disparate worldview elements blended into a customized philosophy of life. This means that really only 23.68% of Americans are actually Christian. The rest of the Christians believe woke nonsense, basically. So what about Christianity in NATO nations? NATO nations, this is from a 2017 Gallup poll, And NATO, and I'm going to list the NATO nations where over 51% of the population is atheist. That would be Canada, the United Kingdom, Norway, Sweden, which is the most atheist nation on earth, Finland, Denmark, Germany, Belgium, the Netherlands, Czech Republic, Estonia, Latvia, France. Okay, then NATO nations with 25 to 50% atheists, the United States, Iceland, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Albania, Bulgaria, Hungary, Italy, Portugal, Spain, and Slovakia. So there's only four NATO nations with less than 25% atheists. That's Greece, Poland, Romania, and Turkey. We must have a politically reliable military to wipe out all Christians in the West. That is their goal. So let's look at the BRICS nations. How many atheists do they have? Brazil, 17%. Russia, 30%. India, 23%. China, 90%. South Africa, 32%. So what is Russia trying to accomplish through this crisis? They're using this crisis to introduce digital currency in Russia and in the world. Is BRICS actually in cahoots with the Zio-globalists? Yes, they are. The economic crisis that is coming has the primary goal of introducing mandatory digital currency for everyone. Russia is going to start its digital currency on August 1st. However, it will coexist with cash for a while until all the bugs are worked out so that it can stand alone. The sanctions on Russia were the pretext for making the move to digital currency. This was planned ahead of time. I went into a Carl's Jr. to get a burger the other day, but no burgers for me because they only take cards and are preparing for the American digital currency.
Oh, really?
There was nobody in the restaurant.
Oh.
Yeah. There was nobody in the restaurant at lunchtime while the neighboring restaurants were full. In other words, they refused to sell me a hamburger and take cash for it. So,
wow.
You know, I also tried to buy a word processor, but now you can no longer own it.
You have to rent it?
You have to rent it, yes.
Wow.
And if you don't pay the rent, what it does is it puts these things over all your documents so that you can't copy them. Okay. So video games are headed in this direction also. You will own nothing and be happy. It's all about the Zio globalist elites collecting rents on everything. In 1956, the Rockefeller brothers funded an effort called the Special Studies Project that lays out the blueprint for a multilateral, multipolar world order. The goals were openly stated. One, to create an action plan to bring about the elite's long-sought world government within the post-war environment. Two, to spend the agenda in such a way that it could be sold to the American people as being in their best interest. Three, America has to help shape a new world order. Four, the new world order can only be birthed from international chaos. The Soviet bloc is the partner with America to shape a new world order. This was written in 1956. Just replace that with Russia. Okay. So you see, Marxism is dialectical materialism. The dialectic was that America was the thesis, the Soviets were the antithesis, and the resolution was to be the new world order. But in 1991, they had not moved society and culture far enough forward towards accomplishing the goals. BRICS is now the antithesis. This is all staged. If you think about it, BRICS are largely woke. They believe in anthropogenic climate change just like we do. South Africa is a totally Zionist nation that is still practicing white genocide. Okay, China is an antichrist as you can get. It is Marxist, so of course it is Zionist. India is not a Western nation, and many competing ideas with Christianity come from there. Brazil was always a pet project of the Rockefellers, New World Order, and it does have a woke government. So what is the NATO BRICS crisis all about? We have been living it. It's all about currency. They are about to create a crisis of existential scope in solving the economy. The next big problem is economic collapse. It will be a long collapse like the Great Depression that can be used to make drastic changes, especially to money. Why? Because for the globalists to achieve their World Economic Forum 2030 goals, they must have worldwide digital currency. Why? Because digital currency that is leaked to each and every person that you can either buy, you can neither buy nor sell without the ultimate security measure. Organized crime, drug trafficking, arms trafficking, terrorism, and even petty crime can be prevented if all money is tracked all of the time. If you want to control politics, you have to control the money. The LGBT and pedophile agenda is part of this. Many would be afraid of a digital currency because they could not be in the closet. If they can make them proud of their perversion, even allowing them top secret clearances and allowing them to serve openly in the military, then they would not be opposed to having the state know what they are spending their money on. This is how you can charge rent for everything.
Yeah, great times just ahead. Great times. You can't buy a word processor anymore. Unreal.
Nope, you can only rent it. So, you know, this is Bill Gates. I mean, it's Microsoft, of course. He's pushing the rent thing.
Right.
So what you see going on, what I think is a crying shame is the advances that Russia is going to make in Ukraine. Listen, Russia is going to take Ukraine east of the Dnieper. They are going to take the coastal Ukraine, all the areas basically that had large Russian populations. And they're going to hook up with Transnistria to solve that problem. But it looks like there is going to be a frozen conflict in Ukraine, because that is what a crisis is born out of.
That's what the oligarchs want, friends.
It's bad for the world.
Make no mistake.
Yes.
They're not fighting. Look, the Russians are simply not fighting this war to win. They could have rolled this whole thing up a year ago. No question.
Yep.
None. They're not doing it. They've settled down into this horrible World War I trench warfare with drones and technology. They're not fighting this war to win. Sorry. They're fighting it to hold their place, and they're going to freeze it. I think you're right. And it'll be looked at by all Russian-speaking peoples in Donbass, Crimea, and elsewhere as a defeat. It will not be a victory. Zelensky will win. He'll be howling. It will not be a victory for Russia. No. No. Anything less than complete takeover of Ukraine, with maybe an exception of the far west, Lviv, far west, is not going to happen. It doesn't matter anyway. It's all contrived. All controlled. Hey, ask yourself this one question. Look what we did to the German nation during the war, beginning in 41, 42, when the bombing started. Every single city was flattened or severely damaged, and the water and the electricity was shut off with bombing. Why do Odessa, Kharkov, and Kiev still have full water and electric service? That should tell you almost all you need to know right there. It's a setup.
Oh yeah. And what's going on is what they're doing here is this is an arms race also.
Right.
Russia's way ahead on this. I think they can produce 2 million UAVs,
Lancet UAVs. Dirt. Yeah.
They can produce 2 million of those in a month. Okay. We were talking about, we've got to step up our ammunition production for like 155 millimeter artillery shells. So we're going to move from 65,000 shells per month to 75,000 shells per month.
Oh, my.
And actually, if you do the math, that's what's fired in a single day in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What we produce in a month is fired in a single day in the Ukraine. It's that we don't have the industrial base. Russia does have an industrial base. They're pumping out tanks like crazy. They're pumping out military equipment, ammunition, whatever,
like
crazy.
Back to World War II. That's what they did in the war.
Yeah. Yep. And what Russia knows is that there will be a World War III, and they're getting ready for it. But we are focused on building a military that can attack and control the American people. That's what our military is concerned with. Okay, so that's why they're not ramping up the artillery shells and all that. They just need a bunch of people to go out and kill white people, which, you know, they will do. I mean, you know, I've been looking at videos of soldiers and stuff, and they say, oh, yeah, well, you know, the government took away our right to murder our babies, so we'll kill white men out there, you know, because it's their fault that we lost this freedom, okay? So the you know, everything about CRT, everything is what the government does with racism is the government pushes hate. They encourage hatred between the races, okay? They encourage hatred between men and women. They encourage hatred between everything, okay? They need everybody to hate each other because if they're going to have an informer society where everybody informs on everybody else, well, they have to build up those hatreds, okay? They have to make you feel like, well, that person of another race over there, that their life isn't important, and their family and their kids is not important. They have to get everybody devaluing everybody else. And they need to have a military made up of women, of not just people of color, but preferably illegal aliens that have no sense of rights or freedoms at all. You know, they don't. They believe in their right to break the law. They believe in their right to take things from the American people that are working for them. But they don't believe in the Bill of Rights, and they don't believe in the Constitution, which is exactly why we've opened the floodgates and let them in. Back during the Vietnam War, we actually had a discouraging thing for immigrants because if you have a green card, you're subject to the draft. So what they're going to do is make illegals subject to the draft. But these people are looking for a job, so hey, that's a good secure job, you know, whatever. So you know, this destroying the military is one of the big things. I mean, I listened to Stanley McChrystal a month ago actually saying that the military needs to gear towards attacking the American people, basically. Okay. And I read this book, these books by David Kilcuddin, who the Pentagon hired. He's an Australian, but the Pentagon hired him to investigate and plan out a new policy. And this policy was called literal warfare. And that the concept was that the U.S. military would control any cities that were on the coast or on major waterways and stuff. Okay, they weren't going to worry so much about people that are outside of that area, because they can control that with drones. Just send drones up and just kill people. You know, see somebody walking around down there, take them out. You know, they can do that without sending a bunch of troops into the countryside. Also, they know that this army that they're building, this military that they're building in the United States, it will not be able to fight China, will not be able to fight Iran, will not be able to fight Russia, but it will be able to fight the American people. So that is their goal, okay? Because if they're going to impose these things on Americans, digital currencies, you got to be gay, whatever, you know. If they're going to impose that on us, then they have to have the firepower to do it. As Mao Zedong said, political power grows out of the barrel of a gun. So we're going to give the people of color, the LGBT people, the feminists, we'll give them the guns, and they can run the country. So that is their big plan, okay? But it's exposing us. We're going to be weak. And here's the thing. Russia's building up very fast and very hard, and so is China. They are putting everything into their militaries. And even India is putting everything into their military. But the United States is actually destroying their military, and so is Western Europe, all the NATO countries. they're doing the same thing. They want, like Great Britain announced, they want half of their army, half of their military to be female. You know, mm-hmm. So equity is what it's all about.
We are being disarmed. Our military man and woman power is being completely taken apart. There's no cohesion here. We've got no fighting force. We've got placekeepers and people who can put up roadblocks and check IDs. That's about what we have.
Well, yeah, and people who do not necessarily. It's very important that they get people in there that do not necessarily have moral compass, because they don't want people making any moral decisions and stuff. Okay.
Nope.
I think they're doing this with police departments too, because mm-hmm. law enforcement, the old thing of the spirit of the law is over. They don't care what the law was made for. The law now is just a tool for oppression. It's a tool to arrest people for. Okay. This is sort of what they want to do. Can you really go out there and protest safely? No, you cannot. Can you petition the government for grievances? Go ahead and write to a government official. As a matter of fact, try to find an address for a cabinet secretary. There's no address you can write to him for, and that's the people that you use to petition, okay, for redress of grievances. They've actually made it so you can't do it. They don't even have an office. It wasn't the secretary that read the letters, but he had an office with some people that read the letters and, sure. Respond. Of course, they did that, but now they're not even doing that anymore. They don't want to hear from you. You're supposed to shut up and do as you're told. That's
yeah.
it.
That's right.
So freedom of religion? No, like I said, mm-hmm. your right to be gay is mm-hmm. trumps anybody's right to freedom of religion. Okay. You see, this LGBT thing, this is the pretext for exterminating Christians. Because, see, Christians are evil because they think LGBT people are immoral. Okay. Well, of course, it's in the tenets of the religion that it is immoral. So you in order to cater to that 5% of the population that is LGBT, we have to suppress that 63% of the population that is Christian. And keep in mind that when I say Christian, this is a very loose term because what most people understand as Christianity is not necessarily really Christianity. It has been the Zionists have really pushed a lot of Jewish precepts into Christianity, and a lot of Christians accept Jewish tenets. Okay, these are the people that killed Christ, and you're supposed to listen to them. They have some credibility in your religion. Excuse me. No. This is the pretext that they're going to do. They're going to exterminate 63% of the people for the benefit of 5%. Okay. So, you can just see what they did. It's like when, I remember when AIDS came out in the 1980s, it was very unfortunate for me because I was a vice cop. I was out arresting prostitutes and stuff. And I saw them. I arrested many like male prostitutes, and they told me they had AIDS, and mm-hmm. that they were having sex with married men to mm-hmm. give them AIDS so that they would give AIDS to their wives, blah blah blah. I mean, this is very evil thinking and stuff.
I've heard similar before. That is really
it was
hideous.
Perfectly legal. There was no charge. If they had AIDS and they intentionally infected somebody else, it wasn't even a crime. I think California made it a misdemeanor, like 30 days in jail or something, for taking a life. No big deal. It's like they had, it was special with them. Or like when monkeypox came out, monkeypox was only really spread around among gay people, but they wanted to impose restrictions on all people for that small group of gay people that were transmitting it to each other. Okay.
Right.
And they did it. So listen, we just have one after the other. We have climate change. Climate change is a lie. Climate change is how the zioglobalists charge you for the air you breathe. They roll it into all these costs into everything else. They're making you pay your tax money to develop green energy, okay, this filthy green energy that you have to have chemicals like thionyl chloride batteries with lithium to store this solar electricity. Thionyl chloride is a forever poison. If it gets into the environment, you can never get it out. And if I put you in a room with thionyl chloride and I just drop a bottle of it on the floor, it will kill many people in that room. Okay, that's how toxic this stuff is. Just the fumes can kill people. Okay, so this is filthy stuff, and it does not break down in nature. Okay, it does not break down in nature. So we're stuck with it forever. What are we going to do with that? We don't want nuclear energy because of the radioactive waste. Well, what about the waste from this stuff? Do you know what's used to make these solar panels and these chips and stuff for this electronic world we live in? The filthiest, most toxic chemicals on the face of the earth are used to make these. I mean, to dope the chips, they use arsine. It's a arsenic hydride that will kill you dead. It is the most toxic thing you can imagine, and that's what they're using. They're producing it. They're making it. Okay, it doesn't occur in nature. People have to make it in order to use it, and it's deadly. So everything that the environmentalists want is filthy, dirty. Okay, and I live on solar right here. I've been living on solar for several years now. I can tell you, it's inefficient and it's unreliable. It really puts a crimp in your style. You're not going to be able to live like normal if you have just solar electricity.
Well, the whole thing, let's take it over to electric vehicles. Just absolute garbage. Garbage.
Yeah.
Junk.
Yeah. I mean, if you get in a crash, man, get away from that car. When thionyl chloride burns, so this car gets into a crash and catches on fire, when thionyl chloride burns, it makes a gas called phosgene. Phosgene is a chemical weapon used in World War One,
and
in World War One, that's what killed most people, was phosgene.
Phosgene, yep.
So, there's immense risks in this green energy stuff. Okay, I mean the risks to the old energy are they're just not bad. See, they had to create a crisis and say, oh, there's too much carbon dioxide in the world. Wake up, people! Wake up, please! Wake up! Carbon dioxide and water and the sun makes dextrose, which we eat and we live off of. Carbon dioxide, water, and the sun makes life on Earth. Why do they want to control carbon dioxide? Because that controls food. It controls life. That's why they want to ban it. Okay?
Right.
You know, and not only that, but you know how much carbon dioxide is in the air? It's not that much. Okay? It's very little. Less than 4%. And that's all this industrial pumping stuff into the air. And I think if you get down to 2%, you begin losing plant life on the planet.
We're going to get there,
so
I think.
So too little carbon dioxide is actually, destroy humanity.
It'll kill the planet, kill everything.
Right.
Of course.
Sure.
Now, this is all madness, all of it.
Oh, it is all madness, and we've all, it's like everybody has bought into it and stuff, you know, and it's, you know, listen, they have so many fear campaigns in the can already. I've talked about the space alien fear campaign. That's to get the whole world to unite. It's Independence Day. Get the whole world to unite against the aliens that are invading, okay? So I so obsess over the damage that these aliens can do to us because, well, just look what they do to us right now. Look how effective they are right now at disrupting our life. Actually, they haven't disrupted it at all. There's many people who think that the aliens that are here are observing and are not interfering in what we're doing at all. So, and some people think that the aliens are running everything. So, we have different things, but we haven't heard from any aliens yet as to what their intentions are. So, you know, when they pull up this alien invasion, they have it in a can. They already know what they want to do and stuff. They've already seeded us with the thing by admitting, government admitting that there are UFOs under the Trump administration. Okay? Make no mistake, there are things that happened in the Trump administration that were part of the process of achieving this goal. Okay? So, I think the things we have to look for now is the next big thing is going to be an economic collapse. And then that economic collapse will get out of control, I believe, and there will end up being a World War III at the end of it. But it's not going to be, anytime soon.
How can there not be? This is not going to have a happy ending.
No, it's not.
No, you got three kids trying to push each other off the top of the hill. Punks.
And my point about reading Ortega y Gasset from 1930 is to let everybody know that this didn't start 2 years ago under Biden. This has been going on for centuries. This is ancient, what's going on.
Yeah,
okay. And we know which way it's going to go. If we follow just the logic is that, well, what the second guy I was talking about from 1958, he was in his way. He was trying to explain why people love dictatorships, why people love to be bossed around and stuff. People are not really free, and they're not really interested in being free. Okay? So, they can just push this on us and we'll accept it. I look at England and I look at Australia even, their COVID lockdown things and stuff, the insanity of what they were doing to human beings over disobedience of health laws and stuff. And I was like, wow, how can people not know that it's over? Their freedom is gone, you know? I mean, what they give now is just lip
service. Because the mainstream media is not telling them.
Right.
That's their reality. Whatever the mainstream commercial TV screen says, that's the reality. That's reality. They don't even have to believe it. It just becomes reality in their mind.
Right, and it's like, most people are really concerned, most people are really hedonists. They're really concerned with immediate pleasure and stuff
simple
like
pleasures,
that, you know.
Escape is fair, sports, drugs, beer, rock and roll, whatever. It's a sad state of affairs.
And that's why I would suggest people read 1984. That was written back in the 30s. Read Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, because they're telling you how this dictatorship is going to run. And how is it going to run? Well, Aldous Huxley's basically saying, legalize marijuana everywhere and everybody will be happy, you know. I mean, here in New Mexico, they just legalized marijuana a year ago, and already the prices are down due to the proliferation of producers and stores, dispensaries and stuff. Right now, marijuana costs about one-third what it cost when they first legalized it. Okay, so it's becoming cheap, it's becoming available, it's legal, you can do it. Okay, they're good with you sitting around getting high. That's not a problem.
Yes, they
That's
are.
Soma
no
and Brave New World. See, in Brave New World, the way that they distract you and get you to obey everything is they allow you to have all the sex you want, and you can. They have a drug called Soma that's like a happy pill. Okay, so
Soma.
This is basically what what the Brave New World thing is, okay, and that would be LGBT plus the drugs and stuff, okay. And then 1984, yes, if you're paying attention, you're in mortal danger. If you think for yourself, you're in mortal danger. If you go to work and get off and go down to the pub and drink and watch soccer on the tube, hey, knock yourself out. That's what it's all about, you know. It's about having fun, you know. So crazy. They'll let you have fun, you know, but yeah, they won't let you have anything else. You are, will be their slaves. Technically, we're kind of slaves now anyway, but
I think we've got one.
The slavery we're going into will be much more intense.
Agreed. One foot in the grave already, for sure.
Yep.
I agree with you. All right, Mitch, we'll see. This agony contest is going to continue in Ukraine. Nothing radical is going to happen in the near future. They're going to grind this out. They're waiting for their F-16s
sure.
now. The pilot training for F-16 start in August, and they think that's going to make a difference.
Yeah. Well, I think Scott Ritter was, I saw Scott Ritter, he was saying that these are actually old crappy F-16s, okay?
And they're said very old, yes.
They will never fly into Russian airspace and bomb any target. They'll be shot down before they ever get there.
Right, the only way that
this
can
is
happen
just,
would be
charging off. This is just charging off F-16s so we can buy new ones. You know?
That's exactly what it is. Maybe they'll drone them. That's possible, too. I don't know. It's crazy. All right. See you. Have a good week. Take care of yourself. Thanks for the note on solar, because it does reinforce a lot of people's thoughts, and that's very helpful. So you have my permission to wrap solar anytime you want.
Yeah. Okay.
Please do.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, Mitch.
It's a pain
Thanks.
In the butt.
Yeah, that's
okay.
crazy. All right, see ya. All right.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Mitchell Henderson. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for Monday. Be right back with you tomorrow on Tuesday in 21 hours. See you then.